The Desert Spiral Initiative. Zidane was working extra hard this season, keen to impress his wife, desperate to feed the family. Meager crops of beans, magaria, dates, figs, and olives enriched their aige, but harvests were pitiful. And even when they treated themselves to a shank of goat meat, Zidane knew what Tassa was thinking. "Thank you, God, for this precious food. Thank you, husband, for tilling the soil that has made such sustenance possible. But this is no life for our son. Axel is worthy of responsibility. No family will offer their daughter in marriage to a farmer of goat dung." The only solution was for Zidane to leave, to travel away from their dusty clay brick home and find well-paid work in Cairo. For Axel to advance his education in the city, he would need money for food and accommodation. "Husband, we do not want you to leave, but by God's grace, Axel can tend to our crops, and I can clean our house and herd our goats." At the speed of the Saharan Sirocco, a wind of writhing emotions swept through Zidane. "Months, perhaps a year, without my wife and son, and sandstorms, crop disease, drought. If I stay away too long, our crops may die, the goats will starve, and my family will surely follow." Yet he knew he had to go. With the arrival of the new moon, Zidane found himself in Cairo, 600 kilometers to the east. It proved a fateful first day. "May your body be infested with the fleas of 1,000 camels," he cried. But the thief, no taller than a donkey's hind leg, had already faded into the fog of the market throng. Zidane was unaccustomed to the chaotic life of the city. Counting his money in a public place had proved a woeful mistake. His family's savings were gone, and with it his means of survival. With only a crust of bread and dried fruit in his bag, a moment of foolishness had condemned him to the life of a beggar. How could he ask for a job when he smelt like the arse of a pig? Squatting with his back to the sun-baked wall, he winced at the shame he had brought upon his family. He sought consolation in his inner thoughts, but the pain was too fresh to be tempered. His head fell to his knees and he wept. For a time, self-pity sheltered him from the roiling crowds, the blaring horns, and the dusty streets. But then he heard the muezzin's call to prayer, a chant that discovered within him one final drop of resilience. The afternoon asr was sacred. His spirit was not yet broken. Turning to face the Qibla, he recited his prayers, and there, in the rat-infested gutter of a cluttered city street, Zidane's life changed. It was the scent, bittersweet, different, expensive. It hung in the air, stuck to the dust, crept up his sandy, sweat-stained hike, and made its home in his scruffy black-and-white turban. So out of place was this scent that Zidane put aside his sorrows and peered up. Against the diffused sunlight of the yellow sky, the silhouette of a tall, well-dressed man arched over him. Without words, the silhouette proffered a bladder flask of water. Zidane accepted the gift. Now he was indebted to the silhouette. "Brother," said the silhouette, "I need workers. There is strength in your shoulders. I see endurance in your face and honesty in your eyes. Come, walk with me. I travel to Aswan tonight. Join me, and I will assure you of a job that will support you and your family, God willing." Zidane looked to the sky and cried, "Allah be praised!" Like a stray dog promised a home, Zidane shuffled after his benefactor. He ignored the sweat running down his back, the dust in his eyes, his pangs of hunger and parched lips. Decades of wisdom fell to the wayside. He was under the spell of someone who could only have been sent by the mighty Allah himself. Disoriented by the maze of convoluted streets and alleys, and numbed by emotions in turmoil, Zidane allowed himself to be guided to a rattletrap army truck. Sitting inside the gloomy, mosquito-ridden vehicle were 11 other men, silent, head bowed, their tattered clothes and the smell of their bodies testimony to their poverty. It was with this band of hungry souls that Zidane would travel through the night to take up a job he prayed would save his family. Into potholes and sunken drain covers the truck bounced and rattled. Sleep itself was but a dream, killed by the whine of the engine, its grating gears and the hooting hordes of traffic. It was a relief to reach the destination, at first. Led through a patchwork of tents, past latrines, a tool shed and well, the 12 new arrivals were registered and had their papers taken for safekeeping. In exchange, they were given a flask of water, bread and panning tools, a gold pan, shovel, classifier and storage bottle. "Sifting Nile silt for gold. This is our work. Allah have mercy on us." The first days were the worst. Bend, shovel, sift, hour after hour after hour. The storage tanks of saturated silt would leak, sometimes break. Glue-like sludge covered their bodies, weighed down their clothes. And while waterborne critters were irritating and mosquitoes stung, the one thing no one could avoid was the nauseating, pervasive stink of the mud, urine and sweat. He struggled on with aching limbs and blistered hands. Yet the sun was their greatest enemy. Only when he smeared his face with the pungent silt did the fissures close and the peeling skin heal. He lost count of the weeks, lost count of the months, his only respite, a wash in the cool waters of the life-giving Nile.